So this is the ins and outs of opening a bed and breakfast, a B&B, an Airbnb, a VRBO, I don't know, guest house, all the above. It's all under the heading of a short-term rental. So for those of you that are listening, I love my short-term rental business. And it looks like just in the conversation you were overhearing now, as I was chatting with Adam, Adam's my co-host, he is getting ready to change his one and only short-term rental into the house that he is actually living in. So I want to go back and chat with him about that. We have Treya Cook is the gal that's coming on. She has her Airbnbs are in Maryland, and she also coaches folks on how to get started on Airbnb. And so we were looking forward to her, but she is not on yet. I've been talking with her earlier today, so it could be that maybe she's just having a hard time jumping in. I'm not sure. I sent her all the good stuff. So anyhow, I keep checking my participant list to see if she's there, and I don't see her there yet. So, Adam, tell us, let me tell you who I am. I'm a passive income coach, and I have the Kathy Benner International Academy. So for all of you that are listening, you can just go to kathybenner.com. You see my name here in my little Hollywood square. It's Kathy with a K, and Benner is B as in boy, INNER.com. And you will find everything that I do there. And one of the things that I do is I have this free meetup where we talk about Airbnbs or short-term rentals. But we also have the six F's of real estate. We talk about how to find real estate, and it doesn't matter how you're going to use it. When we're talking about finding it, and Adam and I, we see each other all around Columbus, Ohio, because we are in that investing community. And he's going to tell you a little bit about what he does. But we are in that investing community, so we're rubbing elbows with folks that are finding these deals, and then they are funding these deals. And I talk about the six F's of real estate. So once you find it and once you fund it, then of course you have to fix it, depending on how you're going to use it. And then once you fix it, then you can decide whether you want to flip it, whether you want to just sell it and take the equity. If you've got some ready-made equity up front, you can sell it or flip it. Or you can actually fill it. Now, when you get to the filling part, that is where you have to ask yourself, how am I going to fill it? Am I going to fill it with a long-term renter, a mid-term renter, or a short-term renter? And you don't have to be stuck with one option. You can take a property, and I always say this, make sure that your numbers work for a long-term renter. So if you decide you just want to put a long-term renter in there and make it totally passive income and say, I don't want to deal with it. The only time I want to hear from this guy is if he's got a leaky faucet and I'm going to call my plumber. I don't even have to go over there. I'm going to automate all of his rent payments. I'm going to automate everything every time he has a maintenance issue. And the only thing I have to do is collect his rent and take care of his maintenance. And it makes the property almost 100% passive income. You can decide to do that. But then if you say, gee, I want to make a little bit more money, I think I want to do it as a midterm, meaning now you're going to rent it for more than 30 days, but less than a year. And you say, I want to do a midterm, maybe a traveling nurse, maybe somebody, a CEO coming in, they're relocating for their job, and now they have to find a place to buy, and they just want something totally furnished in the meantime. And so at that point, you might decide you're going to do midterm for a while. Now, if they're there for 6 months, now you have to go in now and clean that property up and make sure it's ready for somebody else, maybe every 3 months or every 6 months or every 9 months. And whereas a long-term renter, I have long-term renters that have been with me for years. So I just stay on top of the maintenance, but if they do move out, I have to go in and make sure that it's move-in ready for a new tenant. And then of course you can come all the way back to short-term, and that can be anything from one night to maybe you might have a two-night minimum. You might have, you know, if you're in an area like around Columbus where Adam and I are, we have the Hocking Hills area. And a lot of folks, their hotspot, and I did a little research not too long ago for short-term rentals, and their hot numbers, what really rents down there in Hocking Hills is a 3 or 4 night minimum. That's like their sweet spot. Is that guests want to come for 3 or 4 nights. And so you're not flipping that every night. So it depends, you know, if you want to function more like a hotel, and have just one night stays, you got to get in there and clean. And cleaning a short-term rental is different than cleaning a long-term rental. When you clean a short-term rental, and we're going to kind of get into that, when you clean a short-term rental, you have to also stage it after you're done cleaning it. It has to look like it's going to be on a magazine cover.
Yeah,
because that's what your guests are expecting. They, when they show up, they don't want it to look like, they don't want the sheets to just be clean. They want the bed to look like no one has ever sat on it after the sheet has been cleaned. So it's a little bit different. So you have to keep all of that in mind as you're going through the process. And then of course, on the six F's, the last F is freedom. How many of these deals do you have to do to have that kind of freedom? And so, Adam, I see we've got a couple more people in the participants. I'm going to jump in and make sure I still do not see Trey in there.
And
but we do have a couple of comments. So can you see?
Yeah, let me give my little spiel about who I am.
Sure. Right here.
And then Absolutely. We can jump into some questions because we do have a couple questions. So my name is Adam Messmer. I'm a mortgage broker. I broker loans for investors. I specialize in loans for investors. So if you need a loan for your very first house and you're going to live in it and it's going to be your beautiful home, I am not the guy to call. That is not me. I got a bunch of buddies that I can refer you to, and feel free to reach out and I'll give you the best names to talk to. But that's not what I do. I specialize in three kinds of lending. There's hard money or rehab loans. That's short-term money that also called mafia money, as somebody called it the other day.
Not heard that. I've got to use that in a sentence.
Mafia money, yeah. And so that's a short-term loan, typically higher interest rates, but they'll lend on anything. They'll lend on any project that has bones to it. So they'll give you money for the purchase. They'll give you money for rehab. And they'll base it all off of what is your loan, what's your cost, what's your all-in cost, and then also what's the ARV or the after repair value. So I'll put all my information in the chat, and anybody that wants to talk about this, I can get into all the details with you. I'd be happy to have a call with you and tell you all about it. The next thing that we do is DSCR lending. Let me say that slower. DSCR lending, which is debt service coverage ratio lending. That's where we use the income and the expenses of the property to qualify the loan rather than your personal income. So people come to me sometimes and they're like, oh man, I'd love to get into investment real estate, but you know, I just started this job and you know, I don't have the time in my job to get paid, or maybe I just became a realtor because I love real estate and it's my passion, but you know, I can't qualify for a traditional loan. And that's what we would use this for. So we figure out what the rent's going to be, whether it's a short-term rental or a long-term rental. And then we base the whole deal off of that, as well as your credit. We still run your credit. But like, we don't collect tax returns. We don't collect W-2s or anything like that for a DSCR or for a hard money loan. Now the third option, we collect everything, and that's a full documentation, full underwriting commercial loan. And that's where we say, Hey, look, I look great on paper. I make a bunch of money. I got a bunch of money and I need a bunch of money. Sweet. That's what we're going to use for full documentation commercial. And it's a financial colonoscopy, but I'll tell you, it's some of the best rates that are, I mean, like 6-ish on some commercial rates, 6.5 is what
that is good. That's good.
Yeah. And a couple quick questions that we've got that I'd love to address right off the bat.
Sure,
so Brittany has a couple questions. One is, what's the best way to run numbers for a short-term rental if you have no idea where to start? And AirDNA.co is a good one. That's a good place.
That's a good one. But here's what I want to say to Brittany. Start with running your numbers for a long-term renter. Because if you're going to get a mortgage and you're going to have your principal, your interest, your taxes, your insurance, and you don't have the cash in your pocket, and you're going to go out and actually get some sort of a mortgage for that property, the least amount of money that you're going to get on a buy and hold is a long-term renter. Make sure your numbers work with long-term first. make sure they work with long-term. So if for some reason, if for any reason you say, I don't want to lose this property, I just need to get it filled so that I can let somebody else buy me a piece of property, which is what renters are going to do. They're going to buy you some property. You have to be able to say, I'm okay by just putting a couple in there or a family in there or whatever, and they're going to pay rent every month. And the money that I get is going to be enough to cover all of my expenses for that property. Then you can go back and say, what if, now that I know that's my safety net, what if I decide to do it as a midterm or as a short term? And then that's where you want to start looking for the numbers for that area. What kind of a draw is in that area? Who is your audience? Who is your audience for that midterm or short-term property? And make sure that you have a big enough audience and see what the competition's doing. So it's kind of like when a realtor puts together comps, they look at a lot of different factors. They don't look at just one place. And so I agree with Adam that the AirDNA website is a great place to start. But then I also go on Airbnb and I just look and see what are other properties in my area that have my amenities? What are they charging? How full are they? Look at their calendar. How booked out are they? How are they doing? And the one I like for midterm is called Furnish Finders. And the one that I like for short term, of course, is Airbnb. So, Adam, any additional comments for that?
I would say if you're just starting out, a major thing that you're going to start to build is your network. And your network is everything. And how you do that is you find local real estate investor meetups and you go to them. And the thing that's awesome about them is everybody there wants to talk to you. No matter what you think, they 100% want to talk to you because they all realize that the way that they can expand their business is by meeting other people in the business. And you're going to find ways that you can work together that you haven't even thought of. So I would 100% say get out to a real estate meetup in your area. And if there isn't one, start one. And then you get to be like the person that's at the center of it, which is even better. And you can, it's the best. I go to like one or two a week. And I mean,
me too.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now in Columbus, Ohio, I have heard that we have a particularly awesome investor community just because everybody's cool. Like there aren't really, there are some jerks, but for the most part, everybody is there to help each other get move forward in their investing career. But yeah, that's where I would
say. And I don't feel when I go out to these networking events, I don't feel like I'm in competition with these other folks.
No.
I feel like they're there. They want to help. And as a matter of fact, they'll even come up to me and say, Kathy, we know that you've got this group, this, you know, the meetup that we're on tonight. And then of course I have the 6 F's of real estate meetup and they'll say, hey, do you need any speakers? Do you need, they'll offer because mm-hmm. they go, we know that, you need guests and you want to bring value to your listeners. And so they'll offer to be on. So don't be afraid to start something. If you don't have something in your area, like Adam said, you can actually start something and you can be the kind of the go-to person.
Absolutely.
If you have a personality for that, not everybody does. Not everybody wants to be front and center, but.
Yeah. And then Brittany had this other question. She said, can you use other people's money for the down payment on a DSCR loan? And that's a great question. And the answer is it depends on the lender, which is the answer to most of the questions about these loans. But yeah, I do have a couple lenders that will allow that. Some lenders, I have some lenders that will not check any assets at all. So they just assume that you've got the money and, when it's time to wire money to buy that house, you wire the money and God willing, the creek don't rise, then it goes through and we're good. Others will have you, if it's mom or if it's like a friend or whatever, they might have you add them to your LLC. As a small part, like a 1% partner or something like that. Others will require more like 20% or 25% ownership. So it just kind of varies. But generally speaking, yeah, I mean, if you've got halfway decent credit, then we can figure out a way to make that work with a lot of different lenders in a number of different ways. And speaking of LLCs, that is something that is super important. If you want to get into this space, I highly recommend setting up an LLC. And depending on what state you're in, if you're a sole member LLC, it may or may not require an operating agreement. For instance, in Ohio, you can set up a sole member LLC and it doesn't require an operating agreement. However, every single lender wants an operating agreement because they want to understand the entity that they're lending to and how it all works.
And don't feel that that's overwhelming to write an operating agreement. There's some samples online. My operating agreement is just a one-page document. It just tells the who, what, when, and where of the LLC. It's nothing super over the top crazy. And so don't be afraid of that when you create an LLC. And just know, for those of you that are listening, if it's a single member LLC, you can file that on your regular federal income tax. You do not have to file a separate tax form for your LLC. You can just file it right along with your regular tax return. And did Brittany have another question there? I saw something pop up.
Yeah, she's just saying that she's rocking out. She's got an LLC. She's got a couple properties, one in Kentucky and in Indiana, both short-term looking to grow. She has an operating agreement as well and working on networking and learning now. That's awesome. Brittany, what state are you based in? Or are you in Ohio? She's typing. She lives in
Indiana. In Kentucky.
LLC's in Kentucky.
But she lives in Indiana. Okay, I get cool. I get why she's got the properties there. I get that. So let's talk about, for those that are listening, how, you know, basically what makes somebody decide they even want to do a bed and breakfast or an Airbnb or a short-term rental. It's a short-term rental is the overarching name. We all call Airbnbs or whatever, VRBOs, but it's a short-term rental. So the question is what makes somebody want to do that? My story is I was 12 years old and I told my mom, one day when I retire, I'm going to run a bed and breakfast. And she said, what's a bed and breakfast? And I said, I don't know. I read about it in this book, you know, because I was an avid reader when I was 12 and I was reading a story and the lady lived, you know, ran this bed and breakfast. And I said, I'm going to do that someday. So that's just kind of a little funny side note because I really didn't know what it was either. So fast forward, I was in corporate America. Then in my 40s, I got into the salon industry and I had several beauty salons and I finally retired at age 60. And then I turned to Mark, my significant other, and I said, I think I would like to try, short-term rentals. And I said, here's how I got started. This is one of the questions is how do you get started? I decided to take one of my bedrooms because I had a 4-bedroom house. That we were living in. It was just the two of us. Kids are all grown. Grandkids are all in high school. And now they're even out of high school and grown. And so the question was, is we've got this 4-bedroom house and it's on a pretty decent property. You know, it's a double lot, nice yard. So I said, I want to just toss one of my bedrooms out on Airbnb and see if anybody would be interested in renting that and see if we like having someone in our house, you know, we weren't sure. I knew I would be okay with it. I wasn't sure if Mark would be. So that's how we got started is I just listed it. I just uploaded it. And now in the Columbus area where I am, Franklin County, where Adam and I both are, there are some rules in place and you do have to have an application with the city or with the county to actually have an Airbnb these days or a short-term rental, and they give you a license number. So when you upload into Airbnb, Airbnb does ask for that license number. So some areas you may run into that, but you can check with your zoning about that and see if they require that or not in your particular municipality. But anyway, that's how we got started. And once we had a couple of guests and decided that, you know, we weren't going to wake up dead, as my girlfriend likes to tell me. She says, you've got these weirdos in your house. You're going to wake up dead. And I'm like, you know what? The folks have all been super sweet. We are outside the city about 8 miles. We've not had the parties that Adam's had at his place. And again, we just have these nice middle-aged couples that are, they're coming either for a wedding or a funeral or a class reunion or a festival. And we're going to talk about festivals in a minute. So they're coming for something that's going on in our area. And when they look at our rating and look at our rates and look at our score, you know, when review score, they say, let's try. We don't, you know, this is a little guest house. So let's give it a try. So that's how we get our guests. And so that's how I got started with one room. And so once we knew it was going to work out for us, I went to our local city zoning office and went through the process of getting approved. And now I do three of the four bedrooms. And Mark swears that one day I'm going to rent out his bed and he's going to have to sleep in the garage. So I do have a waiting list. We've got a big festival in our little town of Canal Winchester, a rib and jazz fest coming up this weekend. And I have a waiting list a mile long of folks that want, you know, they want to get in there. And I'm looking to make sure our girl isn't in the audience there yet. Nope, I don't see her. And so Mark, he may be right. He may have to sleep in the garage because You know, I could rent the room. I won't, but I tease him all the time about that. And so anyhow, that's how I got started. And then I wanted to add to that over the years. I started in January of 2017. And so it hasn't been that many years ago. And so then I decided to buy a second unit in Hocking Hills. And that's, I was talking about earlier, we have this great Hocking Hills region with hiking and all kinds of fun stuff to do. And so I did buy a second short-term rental there. And then I decided I got this great deal on a condo in Columbus, right in the city. And I decided to buy that and try that as a midterm rental. And it is doing well. And so then just in the last few weeks, we decided to buy another property on the Ohio River, kind of in the middle of no man's land. It's like in between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. It's kind of like right in the middle. If you look at a map between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, there's nothing there. And everybody is like, why did you buy that? And first of all, the price was right. But secondly, for those of you that are looking on where you want to position your short-term rentals, there is a program through the federal government that's called Main Street USA, where they give out grant money to some of these little communities to kind of revitalize the communities. And one of the criteria is that they have to bring in a couple of festivals. Oh, there's Treya. She's now in there. Let me jump over and find her. But anyway, with the festivals, and I'll get her up here in just a moment. Well, where is she? Can you see her? Nope, there she is. There she is. I found her. Okay, I'm moving her to panelists. She'll be coming up.
Great.
And so anyway, they have to bring in a couple of festivals in order to get this grant money. And there is no short-term rentals or hotels or anything in that area. And so all of a sudden, they're screaming for places for people to stay when they come into these little festivals. And So we're gonna grab a couple of those properties and rehab them and be ready. Nice. And so anyway, so that's why we bought the one that we did. So there is the lovely Treya. How are you? You're on.
OMG. I put in my calendar podcast for 6:30. And I just saw your message that says 6 o'clock. My bad, everyone.
No, you're perfect. We've been chatting we've already introduced ourselves. Again, I'm Kathy Benner, a passive income coach. And I also have a program like Treya does on how to help folks get started in the short-term rental space. And Adam has already introduced himself as a mortgage lender and how he can bring the funding when everybody finds that perfect property. And we were just chatting on how you find that perfect one. So Treya, tell us, and this is Treya Cook. Isn't she lovely? I've already been checking out her website and her website is beautiful and she's beautiful inside and out, I might say. And so please check out her website. And again, we're going to talk about that at the very end of the podcast on how folks can connect with you. But in this space of short-term rentals, Treya, tell us, what is your background and what made you decide before you ever opened your first Airbnb or your first short-term rental? What made you decide that you even wanted to do that? What was your backstory?
Wow. So I really love, well, first of all, hello, everyone. It's very nice to meet you, Kathy and Adam and everyone else. So I wanted to answer the question by saying I love hospitality. I love beautifying units. I love furniture. I love staging. I love everything about the whole idea of Airbnb. I really did. Okay. I was like, I could take a blank canvas, make it really nice and provide amenities and things like that to make a memorable experience. So I felt like Airbnb and short-term rentals were really, really my calling almost.
So where are you located? How did you find that first one? And where are you physically located for our listeners?
Yeah, so I am located in Maryland.
Okay. Okay. Put in the chat, if you will. We've got several folks in our live audience currently. Put in the chat where you're coming to us from. Where is everyone located so that we can kind of see a little bit about who you are and what you're doing? And I'm looking at the chat. One of the gals, we were talking about the grant money. It was called Main Street USA. Main Street USA is the grant for the communities to revitalize the communities. And one of the criteria of the grant is that they had to have a couple of festivals coming into town. So, okay, we've got some folks telling us. Adam, I'm going to let you look at the chat and shout out where some folks are coming to us from. I ask them to put in the chat where they're from. Sure. Treya is in Maryland.
Nice. Yeah, I've got Rhonda in Cordova, Tennessee.
Okay. And that's Brittany cool. Was Indiana and Kentucky.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And Adam and I are both Ohio, the Columbus, Ohio area. Yeah. Trish Benedict, she's Ohio. Yes, welcome. I know Trish. Welcome, Trish. Trish, you're going to have to come out to some of our events. Yes. Montreal, Canada. Yay. Okay. I love it. That gives you an idea. We've got a pretty wide audience tonight. And so, Treya, you told us, you know, a little bit of your backstory, but what were you doing prior to getting into the short-term rental space?
So I am a graphic designer. So I design and print, and I'm also a coach where I help people basically build brands from the ground up. I am a part of a couple of big contracts right now with the government where I'm helping to brand festivals. Speaking of festivals, when you said the word, I was like, oh, I know a thing or two about that. So I help people build brands, organizations, and I mastermind. I'm on a bunch of teams about strategizing, advertising, marketing. So I'm really into that. So that's what I was doing before short-term rental.
Okay. Okay. And so now, how did you find that first perfect property?
So I already knew that I wanted to get into multi-units, like the multi-family. Okay. That was my thing. Because my idea is to, or my dream or my goal is to one day own a hotel, if you will. So I want
I can picture you with like a boutique hotel.
Yes. Thank you. I received that. So yeah, I'm thinking about like buying a school, an abandoned big building, and just turning it into apartments or units for Airbnb or short-term rentals. Because I like the model and I just want to scale.
I love that idea. I love that idea. We've got a couple in our group, and Adam, you, I don't know if you've been in conversation with some folks. I don't want to maybe spill the beans yet because I don't know if they're ready to announce it, but we have a couple of folks that are in our circle where we see them at a lot of events, and they are looking at opening a boutique hotel. So I can't wait to see how that looks. So yes, I love that too.
I have heard rumors about that, Kathy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I get it. Now, Treya, did you with the properties that you have currently, do you have any issues with zoning, or how does that work for you?
You know what? They just, on one of my properties, they just started a zoning situation. Like, and I was already in there. I'm in there. I'm already doing Airbnb. I did have to get a license for Maryland, like the city. I'm not in the city myself. I'm in the suburb, but my units are in the city closer to everything, where downtown Baltimore and stuff like that. So I have like a really nice setup down in an area called Mount Vernon. And so Mount Vernon is like this really quaint old, like it's almost like historic brownstone. So it's multi-families. Wow. Currently have two units in the one building. And so it was zoning, and it kind of messed up things, but I happen to have the property with the carport. So it's the zoning for parking. But I do have a license as well in Maryland. So I'm doing pretty good regardless of the zoning though.
Okay. Okay. Now, how do you get your bookings? Are you on more online travel sites? And for those that are listening, they're called OTAs, and it's online travel agents. And it's like Airbnb. It's just a booking site. When people say, oh, I have an Airbnb. Well, no, they have a short-term rental. They're advertising it on the Airbnb booking site. And so there's booking.com, there's Expedia, there's hundreds of them out there, hotels.com. And of course, then Expedia went out and bought up a bunch of them. Oh, yeah. And so now the guests book through one of these smaller OTAs, and it comes to me, because I have a channel manager, and we're going to talk about that, but it comes to me through Expedia. And then when the guest calls, they go, no, I didn't book through Expedia. And I'm like, well, actually you did, because Expedia kind of owns the little OTA that you did book from. but anyway, the guests oftentimes, they don't really realize how all of that fits together. And so that is how I get a lot of my bookings, is that I'm on these OTAs. How do you get yours, Treya?
Likewise, the OTAs, like you mentioned, and a lot of people say, oh yeah, I have an Airbnb, but I do realize that when people say the Airbnb, they're really saying, they really should say, I have a short-term rental company, and I just use Airbnb for my business. So I'm on VRBO, and you know VRBO, spread you out to everyone. I have partnerships with like schools, and then like we have a law school around the corner from my units. We also have doctors and nurses. So like travel nurses, like it's really, we have to get really creative with how we market.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you have a channel manager that kind of takes care? I mean, how do you make sure you don't get double bookings?
Oh yeah. My calendars are all synced. So I would never suggest that anyone should be on so many channels and you have no channel manager, or you have no way to sync your calendar so you can stay like in the clear from having two bookings at the same time. Like that can be messy. So yeah, I do have that.
Now, for the listeners that are listening, a channel manager is simply a separate software program that you can actually invest in. And then what you do is you decide what channels that you want to advertise on, whether it's booking.com, Expedia, Airbnb, VRBO, whatever, and you connect those channels back to your channel manager. And then you function just like the front desk of a hotel. You just open up your one software program, your one channel manager, and all your reservations come in there together. And then when you need to block a room or block a unit, you can block it there, and it pushes it backward out through all those channels, so that if you've got, say, a unit down for maintenance, you don't end up getting a booking for that night if you're waiting to get a maintenance issue taken care of. So anyway, it's a must have if you're going to get into the short-term rental investing. Having a channel manager is a must have. There's more than one option out there. You can actually just search for channel managers, and what'll happen is you'll get some comparisons will pop up in your search engine, and you can kind of look and see what is the cost, how many channels can you have, you know, what does it look like? There's, you know, you can go to YouTube, there's demos, there's all kinds of ways that you can kind of flush that out to decide which channel manager works best for you. But I agree with Treya. Don't try to do this without a channel manager. Now, Treya, How many units do you have?
So currently I have three, but then I'm partnering with one of my students. She has one right up the street from me. So I'm
okay
dealing with her.
Okay. Perfect. Cause right now with my midterm, I have four. So I get that. How does a check-in look? You don't necessarily have to go and meet them each time somebody checks in and hang out and wait for them to show up. What does your check-in look like for you?
Oh man. So I do not want to check in and be, well, I don't want to be on the grounds at all when anyone checks in. I believe in making the system, setting up the system so I can make it smooth. They don't have to hear from me the whole stay unless they want to hear from me and they need me. I have automated messages that will like send out little memos of, hey, did you know that we have a first aid kit underneath the kitchen cabinet? You know, just to kind of tap in during their stay, they'll think it's me live. A lot of times they respond back like, thank you so much. This is awesome. But it's automated. Automate everything. Automate.
Yep. I agree with that. Good words there. So is it a keyless entry? They get instructions on how to get in and it's totally a keyless entry?
Yes. Keyless everything.
Okay. Definitely. Adam, did you have a keyless entry with yours?
I do. And I still do. And I'll tell you, even as you're like, if you got to have any work done, it's the best because you can just give the code to the contractor and they let themselves in and they take care of it. It's awesome.
Again, for those that are listening, I have long-term rentals, I have short-term rentals, I have mid-term rentals, and every single one of my properties has a keyless entry somewhere on the property. And I then can put three different codes in each door. So I have an owner's code, so I only have to remember one. So I can go to all of my properties and it's the same code for all of my properties because it's my owner's code. Then I have a maintenance code. And that maintenance code is the one that I give out to the maintenance people. So if the plumber has to get in, I give them the maintenance code. So if I do end up having someone that makes me a little uncomfortable, I could change up that maintenance code and not have to give up my owner's code.
That's cool.
The owner's code is just for me and Mark. Yeah. And then I have the tenant code and the tenant code changes with the tenants.
Yeah. I have the same thing. And matter of fact, my tenants, they get the last four of their phone number. So they'll never forget it because they know their phone number. And we have the master code as well. And we never give that out to anyone. We can change after a contractor, we can change it. So automating that keyless entry is amazing.
Yep, that's a perfect solution. And so do you provide any food or anything in the units? What all do you provide for your guests?
100%. We provide waters, first of all, some good quality water, at least Deer Park at the minimum quality that is provided. We also provide snacks. And everything from like Nutri-Grain bars for the healthier ones, and then Belvita crackers, popcorn, chips, whatever. We have like a snack basket on our welcome table at all of the units. We keep the refrigerator stocked with water and coffee. I even do seasonings. I have things that I know that I would forget, but I would love to know that it's there for me. So I think about myself and how I would want things at my fingertips that I may need. Like if I go to the market in your area, I may have forgot the salt and pepper. So I have onion powder, salt and pepper, beef powder, like a seasoning for meat. Sandwich bags, just in case they wanted to take something and they have like they want to go or whatever. So I think of all of those little things.
And you know what? That makes the stay so nice when you're staying somewhere and all of a sudden you're like, oh I don't have to run to the store.
let me tell you this extra one, because Kathy, I even decided to do customized toothbrushes because again, I'm a brander. So I have custom toothbrushes that we leave inside for everyone. They're wrapped individually. I leave like Q-tips and cotton balls and floss sticks. I have them in like mason jars underneath the in the bathroom. So like I'm overthinking, but I get so many 5-star reviews because we not only provide the soap and the shampoo and stuff like that, but those little extras always get me a 5-star review.
I love that. That's a great tip. I gotta use that one. That's a good one.
It's so worth it.
Now, where do you get your linens and supplies? Because you do have to keep moving some new linens in, and you know, as those linens either get stained or worn or torn or whatever, there is a turnover in the linens. Do you have a go-to place? What do you do?
I'm trying to tell you what you just said. That is specific for me with towels and wash rags. We're always rotating that and more than the sheets and everything. But I try not to have to go through so many linen things. So I use mattress covers, pillow covers to protect like a little bit of course we do get linen, and we love to get linens from Costco. Like we love the big box companies and so we get them in bulk. That's pretty much our go-to, Costco, Sam's Club, or Amazon.
All right, I have to ask this: when you have 4 units, where do you hold this inventory?
Oh yeah, so thankfully every unit that I have has like a extra room that's for storage, and it's not a bedroom. But if I had to use a bedroom, I probably would do that in a 2-bedroom house. I would take one of the bedrooms if it didn't have a storage closet, and I would just miss out on that extra bedroom to lock off to store if I had to.
Okay, so you have what we would normally call an owner's closet that you keep all of that in. Okay, okay. Now, who does your cleaning? That's the big one.
Who does my cleaning? So I love the details. So I try so hard to not do the cleaning, but I try so hard because it's the restaging. So I have cleaners, right? And so they'll clean, but then I always go and do a walkthrough.
Okay.
So, and I was worried about if I scale out of state, how can I do a walkthrough virtually, or, you know, cause you can't be there, but I love to do the walkthrough because it's the small things that I want to make sure that are done for everyone. Like they look at the pictures and they expect the picture or greater. So I'm learning how to teach the cleaners to really mimic what I do. So I walk through it and I actually have them walk me through like they're the owner, and I just follow them like, tell me how to do everything. So I just want them to have the heart, have my heart and my husband's heart as well.
I get that. And so here's what I want to say to the listeners. There are cleaners and then there are stagers. And when you have a short-term rental, your cleaners have to also be stagers because you want that property to look like a magazine cover when you're finished cleaning. You want, you know, the folds to be there. You want, you know, everything to be like it's staged to do a photo shoot. Yeah. And again, your guests are looking at those pictures, and that's what they want the property to look like when they walk through the door. And so keep that in mind. And you might have a great cleaner, but they just don't realize that you need them to also stage that unit before they leave. And that's the tough transition.
That's it right there.
Yeah, that's the tough transition. And so what Treya is saying is that she goes in and does all of those extra little touches of staging, and if she scales out of state and she's not able to do that, how is she going to do that long distance? So yeah, it is a training process. Now, Treya, how do you handle a problem guest? I know occasionally there's going to be one. How do you handle that?
I really haven't had problem guests because I put in so many parameters to avoid them. So I don't do one night stays. I only do like 2 nights or more, but I just went down to 2 nights or more to kind of attract more. And I have picked up once I did that, but I did start out with 3 days or more. So that alleviates partiers or stuff like that. But I had like a guest that was hard to please. And I just, you know, I say you have to have the heart for people and you have to have a hospitality mindset. so you won't get upset about people that are annoying. You know what I mean? Because you can't please everyone. You really cannot please everyone, no matter how amazing your units are, no matter how much you gave them extra, like they will still complain. I had this one lady who came in and she brought an extra guest and she was older. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go after her for the extra guest fee. I'm not. But she then left a review. It was 5 stars, but she said, they only gave us enough coffee for 2 days. I was like, wait a minute. You had an extra person there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, goodness, give me a break. But she complained when I let her go. And I was like, but I put it in the comments like, wait, I did reply and say, ma'am, to be fair, you had an extra guest who was drinking more of the coffee.
Yeah.
So I just say, be kind. I just say, be kind and be very forgiving. Laugh a lot in this industry because it's fun. It can be fun. It shouldn't be overwhelming.
All right. I want our listeners, put your questions out there. Who has a question for Treya? This has been a great conversation. And I love it. I love it, love it, love it. And then we're going to find out how to connect with her, how to see online her properties. If you want to see those, we'll find out how to connect and how to do that. And so anyone have any questions? We've got, with the three of us, we have 9 other folks in the audience. Yes, we've got some great guests with us tonight. And when I look at the chat, I'm looking to see, go ahead and put your questions in there. And ask anything, even if you have a question for me or for Adam about funding, whatever your question is.
We do have one here from Layla. Okay. Said, what have you found is the most cost-effective way to present the toiletries? Do you leave small travel sizes or refill large sizes? Would you keep them locked up? What companies do you use for automation? Also, this is a second question.
So you want me to answer that?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So small travel sizes or big, do you have like giant bottles of?
Now, I was mentioning that I actually have like a mason jar with like a gold top. So it's really cute from Target. And I just filled it up with like little toiletries, little extra Q-tips. They're not travel size or individually packed because I trust that my guests are going to be, you know, nice and sanitary. I got cotton balls, floss picks, and all of those things. I wish I could provide individually wrapped things, but it's easier and faster to just do it that way. And I refill it every time. So that's how I present my toiletries. I also put my toilet paper on the holder, but then I fold it and put a custom sticker for my business on there. So they'll know that we actually like, this is a new, fresh, we did everything with care. Same with my paper towels. And I leave extra underneath like the bathroom sink or the kitchen sink. I'll leave like an extra roll depending on the length of stay. And what companies do I use for automation? I mean, Guesty, I mean, it's so many of them. I'm trying to think, automation, like that's a loaded question. Like if you could tell me like specifically which one you would want to know about, I could answer that. And add right. The rest of the questions up.
Let's see. Yeah. So Layla, yeah, if you have a more specific question about automation, that would be cool to help us answer that. Because I mean, a lot of the stuff, the automation of stuff is a lot in your policies, right? Like you have a key box to, or a keypad to get in. You know, is that the case? I mean, is that how you would automate?
You can automate in so many ways. Like you said, you could put it all in Airbnb. You could put it all on whatever platform you use, how to get in, how you can automate your messages. That's why I'm saying, like, which part do you want to know about? Because you can automate in many, many ways.
And Jignesh has a question about tips on selecting your first property.
Now, it could be where location, it can be size, It depends on your budget as well. Your why. So do you want to, or your who, do you want to cater to family? So you might need a large home. Do you want to do like small, you know, like nurses and doctors that are in the area? You might need a one bedroom unit. So I guess it's all about what you see for your business model. I go after one bedrooms and two bedrooms for me. I don't want anything bigger than that.
Yeah. And I'm going to jump in and say this. When I first started, I just started with a room in my house because for me, it was about my budget. I didn't have the funds to actually go out and buy a property. And so I just started with a bedroom in my own house just to make sure I was going to like it, just to kind of learn the ropes, get a feel for it. And then once I did that for a couple of years, then I branched out and started buying other properties. But the rooms in my home was generating the income. I've paid cash, just so for some of you that are listening, I've paid cash for a couple of properties from the rooms I'm renting in my house, just so you know.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's the best way to go.
So some clarification from Layla. She said automation for smart. So she's talking about automation for, hold on, let me see. Let me go back. Automation for smart locks, calendar manager, automated messages, and communications. Do you use any specific apps or anything for those or applications?
I do. I have a whole phone with this is my phone where I keep all my apps because I have my personal phone where I don't want to download a lot of apps.
Sure.
But I have a plethora of apps. I'm going to tell you about the TT Lock. That's what we use to automate our locks on our units. I think it's called TT Lock. That is the one we use. And we can literally do everything from our phone. We can change passwords. We can update. We can lock people out. And then, of course, we use Ring camera. So we have rings on all of our units at the door and in the back if they have a backyard. So we automate there to make sure that we're able to see and monitor things. Guesty, of course, you can automate your messages, like I said, in Airbnb. That way you can get automatic responses. You don't have to do it all every time. At first, when I started, I was replying to every message to give that human interaction. But now they get their notifications with the information on how to get in the day before. They get a check-in message, like I check on them a day, 24 hours later, just to say, hey, we hope you're enjoying your stay. If we're here, if you need us. And then I do one more, and that's the night before at 8 p.m. They get a checkout to-do list. And when I tell you, people always follow all the rules. Like, we don't have any problems because we're constantly setting up the automations. I hope that helps.
And the automations they're built right into some of those channel managers. So for some of you, you don't have to worry that you have to have, you know, all these different platforms, because a lot of them are built right in. And if you just want to start with Airbnb and not have a channel manager, not have a bunch of OTAs, just put it on Airbnb, they're templates to automate your messages right inside Airbnb. So you can start off small just with Airbnb.
Yeah.
Rhonda had a really good question. She said, does anyone have a short-term rental with a garage? And if yes, do you allow the guest access or do you just use it for storage?
I don't, but I did see people lock off because I also use Airbnbs and they lock off their garage.
Yeah. I mean,
if I had a house that had a garage, I would probably save the garage to be kind of my holding, for all my inventory.
Yeah.
I would do the same.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, unless you just have so much storage that you don't know what to do with it, then, I mean, in that case, great. Let them access it. But honestly, when people are traveling, they're not, most of the time, they're not in their car. So they don't really care about that rental.
They do not care.
You know what I mean?
So. Someone asked,
I get it. Yep.
Someone asked, should you start out small? What do you guys say? I personally say just start. But yeah, if you want to start with a one bedroom just to get you, or a room in your house, that's even smaller. But yeah, start small and get
absolutely
bigger.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I
think whatever you can manage.
Yeah, get your feet wet, manage it yourself, get to know the business inside and out, and then you could start 10Xing your business, bringing on some team members, bringing on some cleaners, you know, maybe buying some properties a little further out. And like Treya, now she's thinking about expanding to even another state. But she knows what she needs, see, because she started out close to home. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you know what's funny that you said that? I love Cleveland, Ohio. And so I'm always there. I have girlfriends there. Mm-hmm. My virtual trainer's there. So I was going to go to Ohio. And my husband was like, you need to start at home. And so I was like, you're right. And I'm thanking him every day that you told me to start small and start at home. And now I'm ready to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
To Ohio.
Well, now I'll give you a little tip. And again, for our listeners, especially if you're thinking about Cleveland, Ohio, there's two things to remember about Cleveland. Number one, with Cleveland is there's a lot of properties that are actually on the market right now. So it's a good time to buy. When you look and see what's available, there's a lot of properties that are available that don't look like they need a lot to flip them into something nice that you could use as, you know, either long-term, mid-term, short-term. However, that brings me to number two. The zoning has just, their whole zoning department has just put into effect that every property has to have a lead inspection for lead-based paint inspection. And that has to be included in the closing documents. So if you get any closings, and Adam, if you run into anybody that wants to buy up there, that's something that they have to have inspected, and it has to pass before you can close, or you have to have a plan for how you're going to remediate the lead paint. And so you need to be careful, because what's happens is you have to maintain a certain license to remove the lead paint, and there's not enough contractors. And so your property ends up kind of hanging out there waiting for a licensed to do that, to come in and do that for you. So just know that that's a piece of it in Cleveland.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Good to know.
Yeah, totally. Because one thing about it, every time I come there, I'm like, I'm going to buy a property here. So I just got my real estate license too. Two years ago here in Maryland, just so that I can get the inside scoop in the MLS, so that I can buy property. So,
well, congratulations on getting your license. I love that. But just know that if you're going to buy in Cleveland, and I look in Cleveland like daily, I'm right there with you, because there's a ton of properties. And there are some neighborhoods that are better than others. And one thing I will tell you is you've got that whole east side of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And so there are some good streets and bad streets there. So be careful there. Because again, if you're going to do it as short term, you would definitely, I'm in Detroit tonight. So you got to be careful, because you want your guests to feel safe. And some of the neighborhoods in Cleveland, they don't feel safe. And some of the neighborhoods here in Detroit, they don't feel safe. And we've got a couple of neighborhoods in Columbus, they don't feel safe. So you have to be aware of that. And sometimes if you're buying from out of town, you're not familiar. So maybe connect with a realtor there that knows the neighborhoods really well.
Totally.
Yeah. So anyway, great conversation. For those that are listening, we're at the top of the hour. Treya, tell us, how can folks connect with you, and how can they see your beautiful properties?
Yeah. So thank you for having me tonight. I want to let you guys know that you can find me at tlcluxuryliving.com. That is my short-term rental business name, PLC, that is my initials, luxury living. So I love my initials because I give tender, loving care to all of my properties and all of my guests. So it fits. And also, I'm a coach. So you can go to positioned2prosper.com. And that's position number two, prospercoaching.com, because I do help people to and walk them hand in hand, building businesses, building a life that they want to live. And also Airbnb is one of those that I help with as well.
All right. So please take a minute and put in the chat, if you can, where you are, both of those. I don't know if you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And follow me at Trea Cook. I forgot. It's my name. On
yeah. Well, Trea pop Cook. That in the chat for us.
I will. Yes.
And then I will actually, when I get back to my office, I will send you a copy of the recording for tonight, and feel free to use it in any of your advertising if that works for you. And anyone in our audience have any last comments, questions for any of us?
While they're doing that, I would like to say something, because I don't know if you guys talked about creative ways to stay booked. I know a lot of people who start out, they are always afraid. What if I don't get booked? What if I don't do this, or what, I don't make my money per month or per day? I would say one thing, just a quick gem. I put my listings on PeerSpace. PeerSpace. It's an app where photographers, videographers, different people who just look for a space, spaces to film, spaces to have a photo shoot, spaces to just change for a photo shoot, shoot a video, whatever they want to do, have a conference. That is really a great way to get daily, hourly bookings. So you can book by the hour rather than for the day. So if I didn't get a booking for a night, I would totally accept an hour or two. I have a 2-hour minimum, and they come pop up, and that's ways to creatively keep yourself booked other than the other ways that we mentioned.
Interesting. And what is that site again?
PeerSpace.
I just linked it in the chat.
Yep. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Good to know. Thank you.
That's cool. Nobody has mentioned that before. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people scared to do it, because they're looking at, oh, how do I stay booked? There's so many creative ways to stay booked now.
Yeah.
That's love amazing. That. Yes. Thank you for that. Yes. So we have again, Trea Cook. She's positioned to prospercoaching.com. And go ahead and put your property in there again. The TLC, what was
it? Yes, I'm doing that LC. Now.
Okay.
Luxuryliving.com.
Very good.
Cool.
I think that's about the right. I don't have my glasses. Okay. Yep. This is.
Yep. I love it. All right. So, gosh, thank you so much for being on. We love that you're here. Adam, thank you as always. I love that you join me once a month to do this.
My pleasure.
For everyone that's listening, you can do this. You can do this. Just simply start. You got to take that first step, and then clarity comes second. So starting comes first, clarity comes second. Don't overanalyze it. Be comfortable with your choices, but don't overanalyze it forever and then look back and go, oh, I wish I would have done that 10 years ago, and I just didn't. Mm-hmm. So jump in. The water is fine.
Yes.
Well, I just want to say thanks to everyone. And again, Trea, I will send you probably sometime later tomorrow or even the following day, I will send you an email with the link to the recording. So thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Kathy.
All right. We'll see everybody next time. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks.